One second.
Let's pray once again. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. We are grateful to you for the week that ended yesterday, your goodness and mercy shown to us. We have come, O God, this morning in continuation of your service. And we look up unto you, from whom all blessings flow, that you remember us, O Father, and send forth your blessings unto us. Meet us at the point of our needs. Your word that we will travel through may be a blessing unto us. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While we remain standing, let's open to the book of Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. From verse 10 to 12. He said, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be mint in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast a fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. You can please be seated. We'll go to some uncommon areas today. So for this Sunday school, we'll be speaking on the windows of heaven. Praise be to God. We have read it times without number from the scriptures, and we have had it times without number. Maybe one day somebody should ask himself, what is the windows of heaven? And how are they opened? And if it's opened, what happens? This scripture, I want us to look at it very, very closely, especially verse 10. Let me read the B part of it. Well, let me bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now here we see the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, it is God, first of all, talking to the people of Israel. The previous verses that they are cursed with a curse. And because said they have robbed God. Now, we are speaking this morning to Christians. This may not concern unbelievers and may believers. We are speaking to Christians. Now, he said they have robbed him. And that is why they are cursed. And he's now asking them that when they bring the tithes into the storehouse, he said they should prove him. If you will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, may I want to take the scripture in the face value. Not just, I believe we just read it and just pass. But in anything in the scriptures, when you are going to get a blessing from God, you have to hold him at his word based on what he said. And if you see anything to the contrary, you should call him. and say that this is what you said, but this is what I'm seeing. What is the matter? First of all, let's look at what the scripture said earlier about windows of heaven. Now, windows of heaven, we translate finally to abundance. That is what it translates to abundance. And that abundance is saying that there will not be room enough, which means that it will exceed your capacity. And me, I want to, if I fulfill my part, I want to look up to God and say, if I fulfill my part, you fulfill your own part. The scripture is full of contracts that we sign with God. He has his own part, I have my own part. And when I fulfill my part, I don't want to see the devil putting his hand or his leg in my own part. It's 100%. He asked me to give him 10, and I should owe the 90. From the 90, I will give offering. Now, when I've given his own, this one that remained for me, the devil shouldn't put his leg inside. If Satan cannot put his leg in the part that I give to God, he shouldn't also put his leg here. So, and the scripture says, you ask, you will receive. There are bases and principles in the scriptures that we have to follow. If you don't ask, no matter how much it is yours, you cannot get it. But you ask according to the scripture, according to God's word. So let's see how far we go in the Sunday school. If we didn't finish it, we'll plow it into the main service. The main service is also an uncommon part. But it's once in a while we have to go through uncommon parts. Because part is part anyhow. The Lord bless you. In the antediluvian world, when things were contrary to God's expectation, and God said that he regretted creating human being, and according to the scripture, a man by the name of Noah found favor in the sight of God, and God established his covenant with him, and God told him to build an ark, and God told him that he was going to bring rains to destroy the earth. We know the story. The scripture said, of course, Noah went ahead, built the ark, preaching to the people, which they did not believe his sermon until it happened, because scientists, the prophet said, they tested up that there was nothing, no moisture there. No moisture, not that there is water, no moisture there. And nothing. But it's the creator that was talking. And the Bible said in chapter 7 of the book of Genesis, verse 11, he said, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the deep, of the great deep, broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. The windows of heaven were open. Now, where there was no moisture, then there cometh rain that lasted for 40 days and nights. It never happened before, and it has never happened after. If rain should fall today for 15 days, another until the wipe off again, the thing will clean again. From the place of no moisture, as dry can be, then from there cometh 40 days and nights of downpour that baptized the highest of the mountains, that everything was water from the beginning of the earth to the end of the earth, when the windows of heaven were opened. That is one. Yet in Genesis, when Joseph was in Egypt, and Pharaoh dreamed two dreams, and he asked the people around him, the wise men, or they could not. Finally, Joseph was brought, and Joseph told the king that The two dreams you have, they are one. The reason why the dreams were double was because God wants to make it sure. And then in the interpretation of the dream, he told him of seven fat kine or seven years that is full of ears of corn or wheat, which signifies abundance. That there is going to be abundance of food in the land for 7 years. To the extent that the people will not have where to keep it, they will rather be wasting it. They'll be wasting it. He said, but after these 7 years, there is coming another 7 years. There is going to be so terrible of famine that they will forget. They will forget completely that there was ever abundance. The strength of this. And then Joseph went further to occupy the position of chief economic advisor to Pharaoh for a few minutes. He said, let me advise you. You get a man that has wisdom that will help you to be able to preserve what will have been wasted for 7 years, so that those ones will be now shifted to this time of the 7 years of nothing, so that the people will survive. Is that the scripture? If you read Genesis 45, you will find the story there. And it happened that the abundance that were kept in store for 7 years did not only sustain the Egyptians for 7 years, but sustained several countries around the world. There are people travel from everywhere to come to this place to come and buy from what they stored there for 7 years, which ideally would have been wasted. But now, because God came in on the scene and there were now abundance, which means that for that 7 years, the windows of heaven were open in that place, that there were abundance, excess. There is no storehouse that where they would have kept it. It would have been a waste. But now, this is what we found. I don't want to read that because of time, but Genesis 41. Let's move ahead. The children of Israel. That's the second example. I want to give seven. Then I will read quotes. Hoping the time will do. The children of Israel, when they were in Egypt, and under the taskmasters, we know how they cried unto God. God heard their cry. He sent a deliverer and brought them out. Now, while they were traveling in the wilderness, then things begin to happen. In a place, the water they have, when they were very thirsty, was bitter. They couldn't drink it. God turned into sweet water. Then after that, hunger came. The hunger came so much until they cried to Moses, you have to do something. If not, so you brought us to the wilderness to come and destroy us here. He made the people to talk very rough to Moses. Now when Moses called upon the Lord, God opened yet the windows of heaven and was bringing ready-made food for them, for 2 million people. Food they did not labor for was coming down for them every day. And this food will come and lay on the feet. And he said, everybody should go and gather what they have need of. And I'm sure that when they gather, it will remain. The remaining will meet there. Because in the course of gathering, some people will gather different sizes according to their eating ability. And the people that gather excess is stink in their place. Now, where does this food come from? They call it manna. The psalmist called it angel's food. It came down. The people ate, and they were sustained. And as they were eating, it has enough vitamin
one food every day, one type of food. If you are eating one type of food every day, no matter how good the food is, you are going to be malnourished. You yourself, you will find out that your body is not strong again as it should. So that is why there are different diets to balance the body to make it to be strong enough. But poverty sometimes makes people to eat the same food all the time. And if you eat it without faith, then it will reflect on your health. But if you eat it with faith and happiness, knowing that this is what God provides for you, not out of, I don't want to go into the main service. Let's just face this one. So Exodus chapter 16 is where we have the account of the manna in the wilderness. From verse 12 to 18. Now, these same children of Israel, after they have gotten to the land in Leviticus 25, God gave them laws. This is the fourth example I want to give you. God gave them laws how that they should labor for 6 days. On the seventh day, they should not work. And he also said that they should plant their field for 6 years. The seventh year, they should not plant. So they are giving, what will I call it now? Let me use academic language. Sabbatical leave of 1 year. That's where the people copy the sabbatical leave from anyhow. 1 year of rest after you have worked for about 6 years, then you have 1 year to rest. You will not work at all. Then God said that if anybody will say that, what are we going to eat on the seventh year? It was a question in their heart, and God brought the question out and gave them the answer. He said, then what you plant the sixth year, he said, I will multiply it. That what will come out of it, you eat it the sixth year, you eat it in 7 years, you will also eat it into the eighth year, until your harvest of the eighth year now begin now to mature, that you can eat from it. He said, I will multiply it like that. 1 year planted will flow for 3 years of eating. Which type of window is that? Is it on earth here? Is the windows of heaven. I'm bringing the examples to let you know that there are windows of heaven. And when there is need, we have to consult God that we need the window to open. All right. Number five. These same children of Israel, a time came that because of their sin, there was famine in the land. But it is in God's law that he will not punish the righteous with the unrighteous. As we have in Nigeria, the sin of this country brought us to this point. But we have to remind the Lord that it is his principle in the scripture that he will not punish the righteous with the unrighteous, that the sinners will not suffer with the unbelievers. We have to remind him. Yeah, that's why I'm saying that this sermon here is for Christians. So you have to find out that you are qualified for it. If you are not qualified, you will just be wishing and be wishing. Elijah was in the land. He's the very one that prophesied that there will not be rain. He never thought of how he himself will survive. But he prophesied because God has spoken. He should prophesy and he prophesied. Then when he prophesied, how will he survive? Then God told him, get it to the blue cherry. Go and hide yourself there. Because if he didn't hide, no, he's going to, his head will be removed. Because they know him that he's the one that brings those kind of prophecies. So he said, go on. He said, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, which restaurant was the food that these ravens was bringing? From which restaurant was he bringing them? But the food was coming twice a day. Which would be a very, of course, the food that God himself prepared. You can imagine. There will not be shortage of salt. Maggi will be adequate. Everything we have to be fine. There will not be any complaint. It will not be too hot. It will not be too cold. It will just be okay for the man to eat. And he was eating it on a daily basis. Until The Lord wanted the provision to come to another place, through another place. And this was coming. For Elijah, the windows of heaven was opened. If you read 1 Kings chapter 17, from verse 3 to 6. Number 6 example. One day, the king was passing the wall in Israel. The wall and of Samaria. And he had two people that were shouting, say, "King, help me." Oh. Say, "What type of help? How do I help you? Is it from the bow? Me, myself, do I have anything in my own house? Do I help you from the whatever? Is it my farm? I just harvest or what? Are we not in the same country? For the fact that I'm a king, does it mean that I have anything? I don't have anything." He said, "Well, in our own house, this is what happened. This woman, we are. He said, we should eat his own child yesterday. My own child, then his own will be today. Now we ate my own child yesterday. It's the turn now to eat our own child. Come and see the woman who refused. Come and hide her own child. Now we have already eaten my own child." See, woman talking that one from my own mouth. That one is a terrible woman. Now, when the king had that one, the king could not hold it. But he was rather laying the blame on Elisha. He said, "God do so to me if the head of Elijah will stay on his head today. I must remove it." Then Elisha, at that same time, he gave forth a prophecy. When things were as bad as people eating their children, you can know that at that time, grass are finished. The back of the trees are finished. Everything eatable is gone. Then all animals are finished. Because the next thing now is human being. Then, that time the prophecy came forth. He said, "By this time of tomorrow, say at the gate of Samaria, that a bag of rice will be sold there for 1,000 naira. I want a jerrycan of oil for 1,000 naira. Thus saith the Lord." The minister of finance, he said, "We are economists. We take statistics. We check everything constantly. And by our calculation, even meeting with the CBN governor, World Bank, and the rest of it, we find out that in the next 10 years, what we are saying can never happen by all the statistics." He never knew that this person that is talking, it is God's representative. Then the king, the prophecy went further. "It will happen, it will not happen, forget, because it will happen." He said, "But let me give you additional information. You will see it, but you will not taste out of it. You won't taste because of your unbelief. But as for happening, it will happen." Within 24 hours, things have to be put in place until there will be abundance from 60,000, a bag of 60,000, we drop to 1,000. How shall these things be? If the windows of heaven are not open, it can never happen. Then God opened the windows of heaven. And the way he opened the windows was by pinch the lepers at the gate. I say, "What are you doing here? Move." Then all of a sudden they say, "What are we doing here? If we stay here, we will die. These people doesn't, they are very kind, but now they don't have money, so there's nothing to give us, so we cannot survive. Let's go to the Syrian side. If they give us, we survive. If they kill us, we die. If we stay here, we could die. But in that place, there are two alternatives. So let's go for that one." And as they were going, then God sent out the sound of army coming, not knowing that four lepers are coming. But they were hearing the bombardment as from Israel to Gaza. And everybody was advising themselves. Because they said the bombardment here is too heavy. So everybody will begin to move. But it's four lepers that were coming. They are the one that God sent as ambassadors to go ahead and go and carry out the and go bring the report back to the king. So by the time they got to that place, they saw cooked food, they ate first of all, they have strength, they drank water, then they say, here, this is fast business. If we stay here, two things, another thing can happen. Say, what we have to do is to pick what you can pick and move. Then they carry all that they can carry and move back. They went back to where they were before and told the people there, look, we just travel call from this where we see what it remained from our hand. And if you go there, we didn't see anybody. They have all run away. All their food, everything, all their properties is there. These people, first of all, they are hungry. People that, like we are going to Benin, where you see lepers, before, I think they have carried them away now. Before, you hear them, throw away. Because nobody will put something in the hands of leper. Because they believe that if you touch your hand, it will catch you. Though Abraham said that he has shook their hand and hugged them. And he has faith for it. May the Lord be our help. Now, in this one, because of the situation on ground, ideally what lepers brought, you cannot touch. But in this occasion now, faith has to go up. There was enough faith, not only to collect, but to sanctify it and to eat it. So when they begin to eat this food that lepers brought, not knowing that the abundance of food is coming, windows of heaven are open. Then they say, what you are doing? Then they told the officer of to the kingdom. See, this is what happened. He said, send people there to go and check. Let them go and check. You mean they ate that you are also eating from? Oh, yeah, go and check. They went there. They saw the whole place deserted. They carry until the gate of Samaria was filled with abundance of food. And they have to, give the price. And the very price they gave is the very one that the prophet have already said that this is the price it will be sold here. Then the officer that spoke yesterday, now he now believes. He believes, but not knowing that the second part also will also come to pass. Then he balanced that anyhow I must eat from this one. Another time I know that I have to believe the prophet. But this time around, I'm sorry for that one, but this one, I think I believe the prophet, but I will eat from this. But it's a prophecy already. It has been spoken. Let it be done. While he was trying to ask the people to line up and stay in order and the rest of them want to be administering, that's when they rush him. Say, look, this will pass a line up. This is wilderness of the now. When everybody is already thirsty and the task, everybody is thirsty and no, then you want to say, make we kill and carry cup to come and be drinking from the abundance of water that God had brought from the rock. He cannot walk now. Everybody rush and then quick things were happening. Oh yeah, just let them carry. 1,000. Carry 1,000. Just carry 1,000. They tread the man and they kill him. Because the windows of heaven were opened. The abundance happened there. Because the Lord God has spoken. I'm bringing us to a point. Because it is a scripture that says that it will open the windows of heaven. So if he opened the windows of heaven, what will happen? Then we have to look at the scripture. Has the windows of heaven been opened before? If it has been opened before, what happened? Then is it the same yesterday, today, and forever? There is already a clear condition that is attached to this blessing. And if I meet the condition, then God is obligated also. If he did not do it, I will call him to it. I say, look at what you have promised. Your reputation is attached to this one. That's number six. For the seventh one, let's cross to the New Testament. One time, Jesus Christ had a convention in the wilderness. It was not a residential one. Everybody go and come back. So, for about 3 days or so, they've been there. They did it night and day. They were just having service, maybe fasting and the rest of it. When they want to dismiss the audience, Jesus said, give these people what to eat. Then the disciples said, what are you saying? Do you know the number of the people? Do you know the figure we have here in this our camp? He said, it doesn't matter. What do you have? What we have here is just only two fishes and five loaves. That one is sufficient. Ask them to sit down, everybody. Then he collected that small one, had his blessing upon it, and the windows of heaven were open with that, until 5,000 men, without counting women and children. Me and you will know that the figure is staggering between 12 to 15,000 people, the mouth that ate this food. And not only did they eat the food, the Bible said that they also take 12 baskets that were full, that were remaining from what these people ate as leftover. Now when the windows of heaven are open, there is excess, there is abundance, there is sufficiency, that is irrespective of the situation at that time. If you look at all that are appointed to so, there are critical times when there is nothing. Right from the Genesis, the time of Noah, when they have said there is no more shore there, but from there come 40 days and 40 nights of abundance of rain that destroyed the entire earth. All of them like that, in the wilderness and the rest of it, Elijah gate of Samaria and the rest of it, then we come to this. And you know, remember 4,000 men also after this one also. May the Lord be our help. Now let me read this. It's a quote of the prophet from the Message, God Be Misunderstood, paragraph 111 and 112. After this question. See, Brother Abraham, don't you feel that everyone who claims to be a Christian should pay tithes, pay their tithes into the storehouse of the Lord? Please give scripture to this question. All right. That is right. That the Bible said in Malachi, Brother Abraham said the fourth chapter, which is the third chapter. No, that happens in preaching. Will a man rob God? You say, where have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Bring all your tithes and offerings into my storehouse and prove me, saith the Lord. If I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive. That is a challenge to any individual, the prophet is saying. And if I only had the time, I will not get to this little scripture that I wish to get to in about the next 10 minutes, I would like to give you a personal testimony of how that I was even hungry, and my mother and them hungry, and my daddy sick, but I took my tithes out first and gave it to God. Which means that in any situation, you do it first before anything happens. That is, if you are going to fall in the line of this scripture to have the windows of heaven opened. You can see that we went there a little bit now. I know. May the Lord be our head. All right. And you ought to see what happened. I have never seen in my life that any man or a woman that if you only make $1 a week, we bring the 10 cents of that money and put it into your storehouse or a church where you come. If God doesn't bless that, call me a hypocrite. You can see how heavy the challenge is. Until Brother Abraham himself is putting himself inside. That if you do it and God does not bless it, he said, call him a hypocrite. Not only that, even the scripture itself is the reputation of God. He said, prove me. How many times did he tell people in the scripture to prove him? Very rare. Such Old and New Testament. He said, prove me. If I will not open the windows of heaven and pour the blessings. Yes, sir. That is a challenge to anybody. And every Christian that goes to this other question, every Christian should pay tithe. That's right. It should be done. Amen. Let me use 1 minute to read this small one. When you pay tithes, really where you owe tithes is where you get your food. Bring all your tithes into my storehouse, said the Lord. That's right. And prove me here where he said the Lord, that if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that you will not have room enough to receive it. I challenge any man or woman that is not a tithe payer to accept that. That's from question and answer of 1964, paragraph 183 to 185. I could stand here till in the morning, tell you just what happened when I seen that and what condition I was in. But just as lawyer as I ever could, I paid tithes. And when I took my own money from the church here or from my campaigns, I'll give a tenth. Then I'll give it out to ministers, give the rest of it to the ministers. Then when I couldn't do that, then the thing I did, I kept 10%, I gave God 90%. And then when the Lord told me I couldn't do that, and if I did, it was all to be charged to it, then I had to take and bypass it into foreign missions and so forth, and then just take a wage out of that of $100 a week, and I pay my tithes from that. Yes, sir, I believe in tithes pay. It is one of God's blessings that is proven to be a blessing. You say that is of the Old Testament, it is of the New Testament too. Yes, sir.
Shall we bow our eyes? Gracious Eternal Father, may this not be an academic exercise. May you breathe to it that will quicken us to righteousness and steer faith in our hearts to ask from you as you told us to ask and we shall receive. Bless this to our heart, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.